The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Spirits Podcast, episode 20, Midnight Mary, with Grace McCrate.
Our podcast is a 20-something now. They grow up so fast.
They grow up so fast. We hope you liked our bonus episode last week on jack-o'-lanterns. No one has sent us pictures yet of the gourds that they have carved, so if you have particularly good skills, it could be a pumpkin, it could be a turnip, it could be an acorn squash, who knows? Send it over to us on Twitter.
Catherine Addington did send us a really cute felt pumpkin, though.
She did, really, yeah. Cute. I also have those, like, plastic decorations for my house that are seasonal. That way I don't have to buy actual things.
I have to carve pumpkins for work, and I'm not looking forward to that whatsoever.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad. Especially since I hate the smell of pumpkin. Now, pumpkin spice? Yes. Regular pumpkin? Gross. Ugh. We have a couple of Twitter shout-outs today. Thank you guys for interacting with us on Twitter. We love you guys so much.
I feel like I'm like a grandma. It's like, you just call. Just please call. That's how we feel on social media.
Oh, absolutely. Shout-out to Eliana Manley, Katie G, Jane Haynes, and Cherry Boy Ryder. Thank you, guys.
We also want to shout-out some new patrons. Ellie McKenna. Sorry, Ellie, for mispronouncing your name last week. Nancy Thompson, the team at Entwined Podcast. Kelly Quinn, Ross Carter, and Mike Schubert, my friend Shubes, who is the host of the wonderful new show Potterless Podcast.
Guys, it's so good. I have so much fun with it.
Yeah, so Mike is a 24-year-old man who has never read Harry Potter before, which is kind of amazing in this day and age. And so he is going, you know, chapter by chapter through the books, like 4 or 5 chapters in each episode, with guests who love Harry Potter, including the two of us.
Yes. And thanks to our supporting producer, Leanne Davis. Beautiful as always. Thank you, Leanne. To join this talented, witty, gorgeous patron, click the link in the show notes or find us on Patreon. At patreon.com/spiritspodcast. So we recorded this episode pretty close to when we started launching. So you may notice a slightly more tangent, and our interview process isn't super great yet.
A little bit less on track than normal.
But it's a perfect Halloween story, so we couldn't resist, you know, telling it at Halloween.
I know.
Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat, it's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, without further ado, we want to wish you a very happy Halloween and enjoy Spirits Podcast Episode 20, Midnight Mary with Grace McCrate. So welcome to Spirits with our guest, Grace McCrate.
Hello.
We're very excited to have you with us.
I'm very excited to
for
be here.
A local folklore myth from the northeast of the United States.
Where we do all love the local stuff.
Where we're all from. I didn't say New England because they're very snobby about what's New England and what is not.
I mean,
is Connecticut technically New England?
It's a bread basket.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That totally false category that we had in our history textbooks.
I think Connecticut, it's like Connecticut's the last one before we fall into those like middle states, like New York.
Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's before you start getting into that argument of like, is New York New England? No.
I think I had a history teacher who like literally like wrote in my paper, it's like New York is not a New England state. I'm like, okay. So never going to make that mistake again.
Thank you. You're not in our club, New York. You can't be part of this.
But from our northerly neighbor, Connecticut.
Yes. So I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, which is a very interesting town.
Home of my favorite pizza place.
Which one?
Pepe's.
Hey, good choice.
Of course. You gotta do the white clam pizza. Ugh. So good.
With like gazooza soda.
Fuck yeah. Mm. The birch beer one is the one we always go for.
So this is very off topic.
Totally. That's fine. That's how we roll.
I've been trying to find that ever since I moved to the city. Mm-hmm. The only place I found that has it is like a deli in Astoria.
Yeah.
That I just like walked into and it's like, oh, you have like Fox and Park.
Some random ass, like, you know, place that's just a random deli.
Yeah.
That's like, we were talking about work the other day and someone brought up the idea of celery soda. I'm like, what the fuck
is that?
Wow. They're like, you know, like celery. I'm like, what the hell is celery? They're like, it's celery soda. I'm like, who would drink that?
And then I
like
celery water soda.
And then I Googled it and they're like, oh, celery soda. It's like very popular in like New York, California, and Florida. I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. But anyway, sorry. Pizza.
So we're not drinking celery soda.
Unfortunately, no, we're not eating pizza.
We may later. Yeah, but Grace, tell us what you brought for us to drink today.
So I wanted to go kind of on theme. I love a theme party. I love a theme event.
Great.
And since I'm going to be talking about some witchy stuff, some pacts, some curses, I am at least drinking a Velvet Devil Merlot, which is from Washington, and that is as much as I know about it because I am not a wine connoisseur.
I am, though, but it's one of my favorite distributors and favorite brands. They also make a great Riesling called the House Wine, and it's, like, super, super dope. It's, like, not too sweet for a Riesling mm-hmm. and, like, has some really nice, like, kind of, like, stone fruity notes. It's great. Hmm. Anyway.
I'm glad I made the right choice.
Yes, absolutely
great. I picked purely on name.
Awesome.
So
that's how you should select wine.
Connecticut is a spooky place to start off with. I really am into the idea of sort of like New England Gothic.
Oh, yes.
Where, you know, it's this idea sort of like a pre-Walden sense of the woods, and like the woods are a place of darkness and attack, and it's a place where, you know, the like American colonists started out and, you know, have this like great fear of the woods and also this like intense religious anxiety.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so I think like
it's unknowable, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not like
so creepy.
Imagine the temerity of somebody to walk into the woods and say, "This is where I will find myself." Like, until,
no, terrible idea,
right? Like until the kind of Waldenization, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. The romanticization of nature with the capital R and N. The woods were a source of, you know, people went missing, mm-hmm. attacks came from nowhere.
Bring your gun because you're probably going to die if you go into the woods.
Yeah, hide your kids, hide your wives. Yes,
not kind of creepy, kind of cool, just creepy,
just super creepy, creepy. Just not
super
fun.
Creepy. Super creepy.
The devil definitely lives there. I don't know if you saw The Witch, but like very much like a sense of that.
So good.
So good.
Amanda didn't see The Witch.
Nope.
So
I'm just sitting here quietly.
Like Puritan family gets banished. I don't remember exactly what happened, but
were they Quakers or Puritans?
Puritans.
Okay. And for some reason they're like, let's set up shop literally on the edge of the scary woods that no one's ever been into.
Yeah, so
maybe property values were lower, which I can understand.
Yeah. Understandable. So like, and then like shit goes down and like, you know, everyone blames everyone for all the shit that goes down, and then like they turn against each other, mm-hmm. and
classic.
Like everyone's speaking to the devil.
The woods brings out the worst in us.
Yeah,
right.
As it does. Wrapping that all back up, like, yeah, Connecticut's a spooky place. I think it's like, it still remains that kind of like weird sense of like beginnings of America because, you know, in New Haven, because a lot of the buildings are like from when Yale was first built and they're old. Mm-hmm. Some of them are like purposefully made to look really old because they wanted to look like Cambridge, which in 1600
classic, right. Classic
was
colonial America.
Yeah.
Let's are we talking Boston Cambridge or like regular Cambridge?
Like, no, like okay. OG
Cambridge.
Normal Cambridge.
My go-to is my hometown. Well, not my hometown.
Your adopted hometown.
My adopted hometown.
Yeah, no, classic America. Like, let's not only name everything after good old Mother England, but also make it look like it. Greco-Roman revival. So, you know, yeah. Townhouses and whatever.
It was, like, to the point where, like, when they built Yale, they were burying the roof tiles in, like, the dirt on the beach.
Oh, shit, to make them look
Yeah, to make them look aged.
Whoa! It's
like, we gotta look like we're 300 years
original
old.
Original hipsters.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Distressed roof tiles.
Yeah.
Sold for $200 a tile.
A tile.
There was actually a building where they, like, poured acid down the side of it to make it look old, but they made it structurally unstable. So they had to tear it down and build it again.
Wow.
Assholes.
Wow.
Like,
that's
really
amazing.
You care this much about it. Like,
New England
Cambridge
man.
Isn't going to respect you. Even if you look old timey.
You're in the new world.
Mm-hmm.
Your town name is literally New Haven. Get your shit together.
You're not Haven. Don't think you are.
Right. Embrace it. Mm-hmm. Embrace it.
In New Haven, there are, like, unsurprisingly, a lot of cemeteries. There are some that are just, like, in the heart of downtown, and there are some that are sort of further out in the suburbs, and there are a bunch that are just, like, paved over and, you know, buried by modern construction.
Mm-hmm. And as we know from Poltergeist, never a good thing.
Not a great idea.
Man hasn't seen that one yet.
Nope.
Oh, you are.
I was so much ahead of
waiting for that audio extra, folks.
I did, though, go to school at NYU, which the campus is Washington Square Park in downtown Manhattan, which is a literal potter's field where they just poured in, you know, wheelbarrow fulls the bodies of people too poor to afford actual burials.
Bodies on bodies on bodies.
Yes. Recently, as in like 6 months ago, they were kind of renovating a section of the park, and they've sort of done it in pizza slices, you know, so that most of the park remains open. And however, underneath this pizza slice was a literal mausoleum. And so and so it was a really interesting question of, like, you know, do we explore this hallway and crypt further, potentially damaging the bodies, and, like, unleashing spiritual havoc.
Like, I say yes to that because I want to see the film rights for that.
Right, no. I, too, want to see the French catacomb. Like, I want to see the extent of it. And I guess in this day, you could just send a little BB-8 robot with a little camera on its head, you know, to
adorable
see it.
BB-8,
but
yeah.
the official city policy is as soon as we hit bodies, we back up and rebury it.
Is that really
serious?
The...
That is really the policy.
I like that, but, like, I don't like that.
I know.
It's very respectful.
But also, I want that, like, modern-day Indiana Jones
bullshit.
Right, yeah.
It's like in a movie where you, like, a horror movie where you see in the prelude, like, the woman's hope chest or something, like, contains something creepy. She goes, let me just ignore that forever. And then 30 years later, in the attic, you know, there's some kind of creepy shit starting.
What movie are you thinking of?
A general movie.
Okay.
Like, isn't Jumanji about a children's game that goes wrong?
Yes, but they dump it in the river afterward.
That's smart.
Then they uncover it because they dig it out of the river.
Yeah,
it's, like, literally unburied, like the bodies in Washington Square Park.
Yeah, or, like, any movie where they're like, this thing is creepy, puts it in the closet 40 years later, like it comes back to recap.
I feel like that's kind of like the beginning of Cabin in the Woods, where they're, like,
true.
Looking at all the artifacts, and they're like, oh, what is this, like, mysterious old thing? Let's
or, like,
hold
evil
it and
dead.
Say the inscription.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That seems like a
Let's
terrible
read it
idea.
Three times. No, please don't.
Nuh-uh.
Okay, like, straight up, we haven't gotten to your myth at
okay.
all.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
No problem.
Go ahead.
So, many cemeteries in New Haven, one of which is Evergreen. It's located on sort of, like, the south west side of town. It is about a mile from the house where I grew up, and so we heard a lot of stories about it, and it was sort of like, you know, as cemeteries tend to be, kind of a teen hangout sometimes.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I've noticed that, like, a lot of cemeteries have, like, tree-related names.
Oh, yeah. There's so many evergreens and, like...
Like Pinecrest is the one that's
near
on an island that's, like, the really big one. And it's
Greenwood,
just, like, you know,
in Brooklyn.
Continuing to live on. I'm like, not really the point of it, but okay.
I appreciate the subliminal messaging.
Like, you're becoming a tree.
Yeah. It's very pleasant.
Poetic.
So what's up in your evergreen cemetery?
So, in our generically named cemetery, there is one headstone that gets a lot more attention than all the rest of them. It's sort of like a pink granite, and I first knew about it because of sort of like a you know, that middle school storytelling where you explore
Bloody Mary,
Mary, that kind of thing. And there actually is like an interactive element to this.
Ooh.
It's the story of Midnight Mary, not Bloody Mary.
Love it.
Always a Mary, though.
Great start.
This is a go-to Christian name.
Yeah, I guess everybody was like a Mary or a John or something.
Or right, Mary's like a point. Generic woman's name, yeah.
So Mary lived in the early 19th century. She was just a hardworking woman who lived in Connecticut her whole life. She was a New Haven resident her whole life.
Nice.
You know, nothing exceptional. But one day in 1872, she just fell into a coma.
Oh, no.
And out of nowhere.
Wasn't the wasting disease, because that's what everyone had back then.
Just turned
consumption,
pale.
Consumption. Tuberculosis, if you want to get technical.
Late stage consumption.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sudden onset consumption.
And so her family called for a doctor. Mm-hmm. They checked her out. She wasn't waking up. And then at exactly midnight, they couldn't sense her breathing anymore.
They put a feather over her mouth.
And they didn't see it rippling.
It's the mirror.
Right.
Oh, the mirror under
the
mirror
nose.
Didn't fog. God damn it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, they did everything you do at that point.
Right.
Just bury someone.
Yeah.
And in going through Mary's quarters and, you know, getting rid of all of her stuff, they found all of these strange charms.
Ooh.
No, Mary.
Weird bundles.
Ooh.
And a book.
Mm.
That no one could read.
Most
Grimoire.
Suspicious of all.
Don't keep that in your real home.
Like, women reading is suspicious enough.
Yeah, that's suspect enough.
Having a creepy one that has a bunch of spells in it.
Exactly.
Not
Secondly,
so much.
Being in a foreign tongue. No good.
This whole story is very suspect also, because no one in Connecticut had been accused of being a witch for, like, straight up 200 years at this
point.
Well,
it's also Connecticut.
She's
like, they had other shit to deal
with.
She's
had some problems. And so, you know, after they discover all this, the family kind of hushes it up. They don't talk about it very much,
as
obviously.
One does.
Naturally.
Why would you do that?
Don't air your shame.
Yeah, protect
like
that honor of the
be
family.
Be a New Englander.
Great
and
way
it.
To never get invited to a wedding ever again. But her sister kept having these dreams about Mary that were just, like, very violent, of her sister, like, screaming in this dark room.
Oh.
And eventually she thought, you know, this is a sign from beyond the grave.
Right.
Obviously. And they excavated her grave, and they found her face, like, contorted into this, like, horrible grimace.
Oh, my God.
No.
And scratch marks.
Scratch marks! My favorite!
And they had buried her alive. Which
yes.
is the biggest nightmare.
Oh,
totally.
My God.
So, I've done, like, a lot of, like, research on, like, that kind of shit, where it's, like, they bury people alive, and, like, they thought they were vampires or something like that. And, like, they want to, like, a lot of researchers say that it was, like, people who had diabetes and went into, like, diabetic shock.
Oh, my gosh.
And
shit.
Then they bury those people, and they, like, wake up from
She's
the diabetic
like, oh,
shock,
no.
like, naturally.
Right.
And they're like, shit, fuck.
Oh.
You know, like,
did you know George Washington, our first and greatest president?
Except for the slave-owning part, but
that's
yes.
based purely on Chris Jackson's depiction
yes,
of him.
Absolutely.
waited 2 days per his instructions in, like, his family estate. He was like, hey, servants, some of whom are slaves and problematic, wait 2 days after I die.
Oh, yeah.
To
like,
bury
please
me.
Make sure I'm dead.
I fully
yeah,
expect
expressly,
him to do that.
Expressly
already.
In
I would
his
put
will.
That on my will. I would
yeah.
put that in
yeah.
my will. Like, I do not want to, like, that's like a shit
Put you on
show.
Ice. Mm-hmm. Let you age a little bit more.
Oh, but, like, I feel like in modern culture, that's not as big a deal, because, like, they cut you open, like, and do.
Yeah, they would know.
Right.
At a certain point.
Like, they just. They
also,
just
like,
would.
Medical testing, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, they have to do that shit
yeah.
now. Like,
well, that's terrifying
that's,
and my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
So, I do have a tangential story about.
Tell us.
We
dying.
Love them. Go ahead.
So, one of my, like, family legends is that my grandpa grew up in, like, very rural Georgia in the 20s, in the Depression. And there was someone in their family or someone in their community, I don't really remember, who had died, and they were holding a wake for this person. And my grandpa, like, as a little 12-year-old boy or whatever, had the night shift.
Oh, boy.
Also, I love that there's shifts during
yeah.
your fucking
night watch,
so
right?
He's just alone in a room.
Like that, but that's not a thing nowadays, you know
well,
what I mean?
Not, yeah, not a thing in our tradition, but, like,
no.
Jewish traditions,
yes,
for example,
right.
you still take
Shiva
or something
like
that.
Shiva. And
right.
I think that's, like, very important as a way to, like, process grief and
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
but... You know, he was alone as this little boy in this room with a body.
My
and
God.
Somehow rigor mortis set in.
Oh,
the way
no!
That
oh, no!
Oh,
Oh my god.
Terrible. And so the body sat up while he was in the room.
That's like some like really convenient rigor mortis too. Yeah. Like there's right. no like the body should be stiff. There's no reason to go whoosh.
Oh yeah.
I mean
I have
tendons,
no idea how much this was elaborated through the
thing. So that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, but like
that's not good.
That's so scarring.
No. I'm wow. sure it, like, moved a little bit, and in his, like,
oh, yeah.
child's mind,
no,
that
course.
Turned into, like, and then it stood up and danced for me, and, like...
the devil went into the body like, and started dancing.
Any amount of movement in a dead body is, like, extremely
no
is too much movement.
Yeah. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Not okay with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happened to Mary's body? What did they think and do?
So they realized, obviously, Mary was a witch from all
right.
of this
that's
stuff.
Right. That's the only thing that explains it.
And... so, you know, they reburied her. Obviously, typical New England, you keep hushing it up. You don't talk about your witch sister that you buried alive by
no,
accident.
No, no, no.
I was just going to say, I'm surprised they didn't burn her, but I get it.
But
I
she's
get
dead
why,
already.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's already, yeah. like, a metropolitan area. It's a little hard to burn people. It,
right, like, you want to bury your shame and not air it for the community.
Yeah, not literally air it. No.
Yes, yes.
Though, if you look at, like, vampire myth that came over, like, during that, like, time period mm-hmm. in the Americas, what they would do is they would, like, cut out the, like, heart and, like, liver or whatever and
oh,
burn
yeah.
those. And then, like, that, then everything would be okay.
But, you know, she's dead. No more
yeah.
flying.
She's dead.
She wasn't making
she's
anyone else
dead at this
die,
point.
So, like,
right.
that's
yeah.
okay.
Well. The threat has been contained.
Well, hold on.
So they think. Has
so
they
been
think.
Contained.
Ha, ha, ha.
So, so it's kind of this, like, neighborhood rite of passage to visit Mary's grave at midnight, partially because she died at midnight, and partially because her grave says... at high noon, just from and about to renew her daily work, in her full strength of body and mind, Mary E. Hart, having fallen prostrate, remained unconscious until she died at midnight, October 15th, 1872. And above that, in sort of like an arch of letters,
yep.
says, "The people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away," which is a line from Job. And this makes sense in the context of Job, of like, you know, you have suffered for the Lord and you, in that kind of, you know, but
right.
everyone, the legend around this was obviously if you stand on her grave at midnight, you're going
to
die.
Because ain't nobody got time to
because
figure out what Job is talking
no.
about.
No, Job is a sad book to
right.
start
yeah.
off with. It's
yeah.
not, you know.
Teenagers are like, forget the spiritual
It says midnight, we're going to suffer.
Gonna...
We should go hang out over there.
Wow. And also how Puritan to make your epitaph. She was working really hard and then
and
fell
then
down and died.
And then she was in a coma and then she died.
She tried really
Jesus.
Hard, but right, like against all odds,
yeah.
she sadly died.
Oh yeah. And so like, it's a thing where you go to her grave at midnight, especially on Halloween.
Cool.
Obviously.
I would do it like on October 16th or whatever you just said.
Yeah.
Because like, wouldn't
yes.
that be more exciting? Why do you have
just
to go on Halloween?
Just October. Every night in October. That's the best
yeah,
way to
every
do it.
Goddamn night. I don't care if it's a Tuesday. I don't care if you have like a midterm tomorrow.
We're
going to
be having
school
dinner at the grave
exactly.
every night.
Mm-hmm.
You better be there.
Town meeting.
So the like, the... sort of legend that grew up around it was, you know, you don't stand on this grave, but obviously you do.
Right.
And apparently in the mid-80s, New Haven was a very different kind of place than it
mm-hmm.
is now.
Yeah.
It had a lot of the, like, urban blight that a lot of places did. And so the extension of the story is that there were a bunch of teenagers driving around the cemetery, and they managed to hit her grave and crack it.
Oh,
and
bad.
One by one, every 7 years on the anniversary of that day, they each one they died one by one.
No bueno. How many people were there? So like we can map out like which one was the last one to
so
die.
So there were three.
Okay.
So we would have had like say we're at 1980,
right?
87,
94,
94,
01.
Okay, that
so
works.
Pretty recent, but
still.
Yeah. You know it's coming for you. It's like Final Destination.
Exactly.
Or like, you know, like the Mummy's Curse or like shit like
yeah.
that. Be like, oh
just,
shit.
Wow. When is your time coming?
I'm gonna get eaten by scarabs.
Right, or when there's two of you left, which is next. Like, you don't
oh,
have-
yeah. I'd be like,
oh
yeah.
yeah.
I'd be like, I will push you in front of a truck on that anniversary, buddy. Like, I'm not dying first.
But then some kind of shit would happen where like the person would be bypassed by the truck and then you would then be hit by someone
yeah.
swerving away from the truck.
Probably.
I know how myths work, Julia. You can't change the timeline.
You can't just make it work for you.
No,
no, no, no.
That's not how it works.
That's pretty eerie, dude.
Yeah. And I was an indoor kid, so I never actually did this.
Much like Amanda.
We're all compatriots.
I was, fine. No, I was an outdoor kid.
You were.
We were bookish.
Right.
We were smart.
We're both fair-skinned.
Yeah. We can't just be going outside all the time.
No. Please.
I did Lulabelle shit, and I'll tell you about that story at some point, but...
I don't know what you're referencing,
that's
so.
That's the Oakdale Telepo story, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that's pretty much the end of it.
So what is the modern state of this myth?
So this is pretty much, what I told you is pretty much the modern state of the myth. I left Connecticut when I was 18, and this was still sort of the version that I've been hearing. I did a little bit of like digging into sort of the like Atlas Obscura page for this, and it seems like it's still pretty much the same thing. It kind of varies, like, sort of, was it, you know, a group of teenagers? Was it a group of someone like driving drunk who hit the stone? And apparently they did actually repair her headstone at some point, which is probably where that came from.
Also, like, were they driving through the cemetery, or is it her thing, like,
to drive in a cemetery?
It's very close to, like, the edge of the cemetery.
I mean, some of the headstones are close to the road.
Right,
there's often, there's not curbs.
Like, right, if there's, like, a fence or something, like, if they drove through it and hit her headstone, like, I would understand that. Ooh. But if it's, like, in the middle of the cemetery,
just, like,
that's a whole different story.
Like, gets air, and then lands only on
over
that
the
one.
Fence, straight into the headstone. I think that's pretty solid.
Wow. That's pretty scary, though. Like, imagine if, you know, you were just in a late night, you know, whatever, skidding accident in a cemetery for whatever reason, doing whatever you want to do in the car, and then you look and see which headstone you hit, and oh shit, it's the one witch in the cemetery.
Yeah.
That's great.
Also, I'm pretty sure you, like, wouldn't be keeping tabs on, like, who's the witch in the cemetery.
No, I know. As I thought that, I was like, the last thing I would do is look at what headstone it was. I would just drive away immediately.
It's like, no. The worrisome thing of me as, like, a very, like, sheltered teenager, especially knowing this story, not fully believing it, but, like, kind of being a little too into spooky stuff to fully discount it.
Why would you risk it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had friends who would, like, hook up in the cemetery.
No!
And I was like, no, don't do it.
Also, like
first,
a cemetery is the least sexy place to be.
Yeah. Slash, if you happen to, you know, conceive an accidental pregnancy or an unplanned pregnancy.
How do you explain that?
Demon baby. Come on, people.
Oh, yeah.
There's no
also,
better
way. Also, you totally
way.
Have to name it after the person who you had sex with
on their
grave on.
Yeah.
Like, whatever that headstone name is. Like, if it's, like, you know, Prudence Gladwell. You name that child Prudence Gladwell. I don't care who you are.
This is my like daughter, that. Good wife, Samson.
Exactly. Yeah, Goody, whatever, Brown.
Goody Proctor.
Oh, Goody Proctor.
Oh,
I just
Goody
saw the Crucible on Broadway, guys.
So
oh,
good.
My God.
I'm
dude.
So jealous.
Yeah. Ugh. But also, like, you know, teenagers with power, you know, and, like, and making myth and worldview out of whatever they have in their
disposal. Like, you solidly watched, like, two really morbid plays in a row.
The Crucible and...
Oh, we saw American Psycho on Monday.
Okay, that's
which was like
that's intense experience.
Mm-hmm. Kind of going back to cemetery stuff, there's a great, like, not story, but, like, historical reference in Boston where for a really long time there was a lot of, like, not grave robbing, but, like, headstones disappeared. And so they, like, they couldn't figure out
that's
where
grave robbing.
I mean, yes, but it's not like where they're, like, peeling jewelry off dead bodies.
It's like grave larceny.
Okay, sure. And they, like, couldn't figure out where these, you know, like, these marble tablets were going that are the gravestones until they...
Because what's it going to become, like, a single bathroom vanity?
Right. Well, until they figured out some guy, like, bought a, like, thing of bread... And notice that there were words on the bottom of the bread. Bakers and, like, pizza guys were stealing them to use in their ovens.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
To, like, and then you just, like, some 1700s gravestone was being used to cook pizza.
It's like a charcoal.
Oh my God.
So you ordered, like, pizza
bread.
To go. And there was just, like, you know.
Goody Proctor.
Here lies Goody Proctor.
Oh, no.
Died in 1789.
Just, like, a little hint of a ghost.
And, like,
pizza.
And.
I'd be down.
And
ghost
if
pizza?
You, if you look
so
at
good.
The, like, 1700s gravestones, they all have, like, the, like, skulls and crossbones because that was very, like, the Puritan Protestant thing at that point. Is
yeah.
Like to, that was, like, their ideal of apocalypticism. It's, like, embrace the death that's coming to you and make it beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, like, you just see, like, you know, flowers and
skulls and then like the name of the person who died on your on the bottom of your pizza.
Amazing.
So like I just, it's just like it's just so on point. That's I love amazing. It.
That is amazing.
It's so good.
New England Gothic, gotta love it.
Gotta love that New England Gothic.
Little like on at the bottom of your like New Haven style burnt pizza.
Love it.
Wow, bringing it back around to pizza, guys. Yeah. Good job.
That coal fire pizza there. From Pepe's. Go yeah. visit.
It's so good.
Oh, so good.
The line is worth it.
That clam pizza.
Fuck
man.
Sally's.
Fuck Sally's.
Spirits was created by Julia Shafini and me, Amanda McLaughlin. It's edited by Eric Schneider with music by Kevin McLeod and visual design by Allison Wakeman.
Subscribe to Spirits on your preferred podcast app to make sure you never miss an episode. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr at Spirits Podcast.
On our Patreon page, patreon.com/spiritspodcast, you can sign up for exclusive content like behind-the-scenes photos, audio extras, director's commentary, blooper reels, and beautiful recipe cards with custom drink and snack pairings.
If you like the show, please share with your friends and leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help.
Thank you so much for listening. Till next time.